Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So before I jump into the word this morning, I just want to show a couple of pictures from our Love Acts day yesterday. A group of us from New Life headed up to Clear Lake to help and partner with the Samaritan's Purse. If you heard of that ministry, what a fabulous ministry that they have going on there. And as you know, there was these huge fires that took place recently in our area. And so we went up to help homeowners sift through the debris and what the remains of are of their homes. And so we worked with them in this at their house. You can go to the next photo. This is two sites that we're working at. We had such a big group that we split up into teams. And I tell you what, this fire was so devastating and so incredible. There's not even really coals left of anything. It's just ash. Even toilets were just gone. I mean, like, that's how powerful the fire was. And this is some of us in our, I think they're called Tyvek, yeah. Some Tyvek, I'll get it right. Tyvek suits. If you've never worn one, it's like your personal sauna. Because they don't breathe at all, but we were blessed with a wonderful day. And I have to tell you, these pictures right here, we're at a site where we actually found everything the homeowners were hoping to find. I mean, they put their expectations very low and they said, I don't really expect to find anything, but this is what I'm hoping that I could recover. And they were able to recover. And there's tears and gratitude. And at the end, they preach the gospel and we all sign Bibles and we give them a Bible. And it was just a powerful moment. So I just want to say thank you, New Life, for going. If you miss this opportunity, they need more people. They're available during the week, the weekends. They're going to be there for a couple more weeks. You can go ahead up to, they're based in Clear Lake, and you can go up and help them there. It's just a wonderful opportunity to serve. So now I get to jump in this morning with our sermon series, though, No Place Like Home. Isn't there no place like home, that place of rest? And Caleb brought a powerful word last week about Peter's home, and Jesus came in, and Peter's mother-in-law was sick, but we realized that Jesus wants to meet us right where we live. And last week, when we looked at the healing of his mother-in-law, we see that Peter's relationship with Jesus really opened the door for God to move. That was the beginning of that open door and to work in his house. And as his mother-in-law was healed, her restoration, healing led to her activation, really. And she immediately got up and served. And we saw the power of us needing, as God touches our lives, as he transforms us, as he changes us, that we can move into a place of awesome service. And also, we saw that one healing led to a multiplication effect. And so never to minimize the beginning or the start or the small. So it could start with the smallest thing, but God's saying, I'm opening the door and unleashing something. Because the moment his mother-in-law was healed, what happened? The whole city starts gathering for a healing service at the door of the house. And it said that Jesus healed them all. And so we have to value even the small things that God is doing. They're significant. And so today I want to look into Luke 10 this morning. If you have your Bible, you can open there. Or I also have the verses up on the screen. It says in Luke 10, verse 38, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village. Who's he? This is Jesus. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat also at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. I've got the solution, God. I love how we pray sometimes that we've got all the solutions, right? I know what will help this circumstance and this situation. Verse 41, and Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the power of your word, and I ask that it would land in our hearts today, that we would find encouragement, that we would find a place of victory, of release today, and we would just find your heart more than anything else, and we would see what you have to say to us. You would open our spiritual ears to hear your voice. In your name, I pray. Amen. Amen. So this is a great story. I mean, it starts with this Lady Martha, this wonderful lady, opening her home and welcoming Jesus in. I mean, that's where everything should start, right? And that's where our relationship with God starts, as we welcome him into the house that we are. We welcome him into our life. We receive him into our family, into who we are. And so here she is. She wants to be gracious. She's like, yes, Jesus is in town. I'm going to have him at my house. And she was a gracious hostess. You know, and you can't have Jesus without having his disciples. And so when it meant to invite Jesus over, it meant to invite all these guys that are wandering around with him into your house as well. And they've been traveling around. He's been gathering crowds and teaching them. And she invited them to a place of rest. And so she began to prepare a meal for them. And we could really say that Martha's gift was a gift of hospitality, really, wasn't it? She knew her gift. She was willing to put it to use. She knew she was, could serve. This was her Martha Stewart moment. Before Pinterest and recipes online, she was Martha Stewart in flesh and blood. And this is a very valid gift. I'm so grateful for those in the body of Christ with the gift of hospitality. Oh my goodness, I can't tell you. I mean, I guess as pastors, we host a lot of people, and I get flustered and, you know, like, oh, Lord, and like, is this going to work out? And I like, and you go to someone's home who is their, like, gifting, and God's put such a grace on their life, and they, like, I mean, there's such a, like, ease about it, and they love to do it, and I'm like, I need the love to do this, God, and and it's just different. And you're with somebody with that gifting mix, it's like you can just come under it, and you're like, yeah, this is great. This is hospitality. This is wonderful. Have you ever noticed that if you ever step next to somebody with a different gifting mix than you, you actually are touched by their gifting mix as well and what their talents that they walk under? I know I have some incredible friends that are pastors in Elk Grove, and they have 5 kids, and there's such a grace on their life to have all these kids, and I'm with them, and I'm like thinking, gosh, this is wonderful. I could have 5 kids, like, no problem. I mean, like, you know, and then I get home, and I'm like, oh, no, 2, 2, 2. I mean, you know, it, like, lifts, you know. You come next to somebody who has a prophetic anointing and gifting, and suddenly you're feeling like, oh, yes, God's stirring, he's speaking, and you're in that with them, and you're next to them, and that's the power of the body of Christ. It's so awesome. So Martha had this really important gift. 1 Peter tells us in chapter 4 that we are to be hospitable one to another without grumbling, without like, oh, I have to do this, and I'm working on this verse. And verse 10, it says, even as we've each received a gift, let us minister one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, or the multifaceted grace of God, that it's not just one dimension that we carry. And so Martha was really carrying a gift of hospitality, and she had that in her life. But this was quite a task. She hadn't expected them. They didn't have like a pre-advanced agenda that they could look up on the internet and find where they were traveling to and going. And so she had nothing yet prepared for such a large group. And she began to do the work. And she probably had an idea of what it would be like to serve Jesus, how wonderful it would be to have him in her house. How, what a glorious moment. I mean, for us, that, like, the word glory, everything, you know, could be with ease if Jesus was in your home. And she didn't realize yet the challenge that would she would face for the need of her own transformation. She had invited him in, but she didn't know that she was going to be required to change. And so little by little, Martha begins to get upset. I don't know how you handle your upsetness, your irritability, your anger, but I imagine that she's in the kitchen working, and she starts to realize there's potatoes to be peeled, and there's this to, you know, be done yet, and that to be grated, and this to boil, and she's running around all everywhere trying to do it all. And she's starting to get irritated because her sister Mary is in the other room, sitting at Jesus' feet, not doing anything. And she's busying herself, and I'm sure this anger starts to build in her, and she starts to make extra little noises while she's doing things. She's cutting, and suddenly the knife is slamming down louder than it was before because it's now frustrating, you know. And she stirs the pot, making sure to make some extra noise. Don't they know I'm in here? And she's stirring that pot. She's throwing the dish towel over here and, like, you know, it misses the sink. And, you know, she's got this. And she keeps walking by the room, you know, because these rooms are really close together. And she can see Mary and she's giving her the stink eye. Would you just look at me? I'm in here. She's got her apron on and she's got the spoon in her hand. And she's, like, motioning, you know, without trying to disturb the crowd. She's like, Mary, get in here and help me, you know, moment. Anybody have expectations that they don't communicate and yet they get mad at the person? She's got these expectations that her sister would help her. They have a house full of people. She's glancing there. Mary's just sitting there doing nothing. Verse 40 tells us that Martha was cumbered about with much serving. Cumbered. What, who uses the word cumbered today? Yeah, that's my regular vocabulary. Not a one person in here raised their hand, by the way. She was cumbered about with her service, with her ministry. What does that mean? It means she was distracted with care. She was literally, it means to actually drag about. Now, I brought this backpack today because God has given us each responsibilities that we are to shoulder and to carry. There are things in our life, and I really feel like this is Martha's home. She took real responsibility for it. She was going to be that gracious hostess. But what began to happen in this service, in this giving out, is that the cares and the anxiety begin to take over the service. And so yet, while she has a responsibility, what began to happen is that things began to come out of that distraction, those cares, those worries. Will there be enough food? Will Jesus like what I'm preparing for him? Why is my sister not helping me? Don't they know that this is an expensive meal? I have bills to pay. I have other responsibilities. I have to go to work in the morning and I'm going to be tired. And she kept going and going and going in her mind. And so all of a sudden she is caring about. Keep it going, keep it going. She no longer has just her responsibilities on her back. But now she's literally dragging about the cares and concerns, the distractions of this life. And she's in the kitchen and she's getting all wound up and she's starting to get irritated and she's getting caught up in her concerns and she can't even see Jesus anymore. She's so distracted, so focused on the service, on the ministry, that she can't even see him anymore. All she sees is those cares and concerns. All she sees is those worries that she's carrying, and she's caught up in it, and yet she wants to be where Jesus is, but she's like, wait, I have all this to carry. I have, Jesus, don't you know I have all this? And she's trying to move around, and she's just getting trapped all in that. Sometimes, you guys, we hide ourselves in our fears and troubles and concerns. And the weight of the world begins to feel like it rests on our shoulders. Some of us, we manage the household responsibilities, the duties, the bills that have to be paid, the things that come up. You know, I even know with my personality, you take a Myers-Briggs personality, my personality is called the doer. I am like this action-oriented, this person that does things. And I have to guard my own heart. And here, she is literally stressed out. And she doesn't realize yet how much Jesus cares. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us what? It tells us, cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. Here is Jesus in the home. And this verse has not yet been penned yet. And she doesn't know this, but she's going to get there. That Jesus wants the things that she cares for. He wants to carry them for her. He wants to untether her from those anxieties, from those worries. He wants to carry it so that we are free. Yes, we still have responsibilities. We still have that backpack, in a sense, on our back, but not all the other things dragging us down or dragging us behind. Imagine having these cares and anxieties when a storm hits, you guys. I mean, you would be blown backwards. You would be pulled over. The fear that would hit you, the anxiety that would hit you. And so here she is, irritated in her own house, because her sister does not act or think like she does. So finally, she has taken all that she can take. You ever get to the breaking point called the blow-up point? Some of us are stuffers. We have the anxieties and cares. They're stuffed inside that backpack. You know, we got to like all manage. And then suddenly it just explodes. Poof, out. Someone has pulled the ripcord, right? And it's just like, boof, everywhere, over everyone. And so literally she pulls the ripcord and it just explodes over everything. She can no longer handle it. She stomps into that living room where they're seated and Jesus is talking. And she interrupts him. And she says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to come and help me. Verse 40. Tell her. And so Martha moves into a place of self-pity. She moves into a place of fault-finding. If you have the same nature, you do the same thing. She says, Lord, don't you care? I mean, the question of the heart really is, God, don't you see? Don't you take notice of me, what I'm doing, how I'm serving? Look what I've been doing for you, Lord. And then she finds fault with her sister. My sister has left me. And she begins to measure her sister's conduct with her own and saying, my sister does not meet the mark. Look what I'm doing for you, Jesus. Make my sister come up to my level. Make her do what I am doing. And Martha was really insisting that her sister have the same spiritual gift that she has. You know, she thought, well, I have the gift of hospitality. Mary should have the gift of hospitality. She should carry the same concerns, the same passions, the same desires that I do. She is of this house, isn't she? You know, and sometimes we want it to work that way. You guys, we get caught up in this. We think that if I carry the gift of mercy, if I carry a gift of intercession, that everybody else around me should carry that same gift. If I'm able to go and intercede for 5 hours on end, why isn't everybody else doing that with me? And we get frustrated and irritated and irate with the body of Christ, with the house of God. Because our sisters and brothers are not acting necessarily like we are acting or what we are doing, what's in our hearts. She's saying, my sister isn't meeting the mark that I have set. Mary is the problem, Lord. And Martha begins to take aim at her sister, because it's always easier to take aim at somebody else than realize where you need to change. You know, our family, we love to hike. We like to go out places. And we were recently at Fort Cronkite down in Sausalito area. And you can hike up about a half a mile and you get to Battery Townsley, a military battery. You can put the picture up of the gun. Can you see that? That's taken from the National Park Service, that picture. And it's just an image of what it looked like before. You can go up there now, and the gun is not sitting there like that right now, but this gun can shoot 2,100-pound projectiles for, guess how long? They tested it originally and thought 25 miles. It went over 30 miles all the way past the Farallon Islands out. This is a 68-foot gun barrel. I mean, huge. Massive. And so we're up hiking, and what they've done is this one's gone, but now they took one that used to be on a naval ship, and they've set it out for people to see, and it is 68 feet. And so I thought it'd be so cool to look down the barrel of the gun, you know, 68 feet, and take a picture of my son at the other end. And so I go and I squat down. It's a bright sunny day, and I can see him down there, his little face down there, and I snap the photo, and I'm like, cool. only to find out later that this is the picture I came up with. I'm looking at myself. If you can see, if I had a pointer this morning, you see on the right side here, there's a little white spot, and that's where Ben is. That little up on my glasses, this little white spot in my glasses is where Ben is, that little speck. And I begin to think, wow, how many times in life do we point the guns at somebody, thinking we're seeing them, only to look back and realize, hey, I got to deal with myself first before I deal with the speck that I'm seeing over there. And this picture was that reminder even of what Martha was doing right here, that she's like pointing the guns at Mary. It's like, the problem, God, the problem, Jesus, is my sister. The problem is this. If you would just deal with her, everything would be okay. And so my question this morning, church, is how do we act when our sisters and brothers in God's house aren't acting like we think they should be acting? And I put that we think they should be acting because I feel like our standards don't measure up to what God is requiring of them or requesting of them. And we have to watch this. Do I project blame on them? Do I tell somebody else to change but not me? Martha had lost her temper and pitched a fit in front of her guest. I mean, missed hospitality. I mean, this is really bad. But that's not the worst of it. It got to the point that she was so upset, so focused on her agenda, that what does she do? She treats Jesus like the servant. Instead of serving him, she now demands of him to do things for her, and she starts telling him what to do. Instead of listening to him give instructions, she starts giving out instructions. Jesus, tell her to come help me. And Jesus' answer is where we need to land this morning. I'm going to give you 3 points out of these last few verses. And he really puts in perspective. He puts everything back in order, and he gives us priorities in the house. The first and most important priority here is that he tells us is that we are to hear God's voice. Verse 41, his answer to her, Martha, Martha. He calls to her. You know, when you're distracted, you don't hear very well. I'll be doing something, my kids are talking to me, I have no idea what they're saying. And I'm like, you guys, I'm not listening. I'm doing something else. I'm distracted in this thing. You have to, you know, wait till you have my attention. And this here Jesus is calling her into attention. He's like, I have a message for you. I have something to say to you. And we need to understand what God is saying. This is about Jesus being in the house. It's more than just being aware of his presence. It's more than being aware that he's around. It's actually hearing his voice, listening to his voice. He wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to you. It's so good if you begin to realize that he is near, that he's around, that he's close to you, but he wants an intimate relationship with you. It says in the scripture that my sheep hear my voice. He wants you to know his voice. And she's here stirred up herself to entertain Christ, but she has not quieted herself to hear his voice. She was distracted, and Jesus pulls her out of this frustration, out of this distress, and he takes her really to the heart of the matter. And the problem was not her sister. It's what she's been carrying around unnecessarily. It's what she's been dragging about, the troubles that had consumed her and the cares that have overwhelmed her. And Jesus is saying here, I care for you, Martha. Martha, I care for you. Would you give me your cares? I want to take them from you. I'll shoulder the weight. I'll carry those anxieties, those fears. And Jesus straightens it all out. And some believe, though, that Martha was getting a rebuke for her service, that somehow Jesus was implying it was her help in the kitchen that was not a good thing, and that Martha should have been sitting down instead of serving. But that's not what's happening here, really. In fact, the next time we read about Martha is in John 12, and Jesus is coming to town again, and his disciples, and she's hosting this, again, a beautiful meal for them. And what does it say of Martha? Martha served. Because it was her gifting mix. It was who she was. It was her talent. It's what she was supposed to do. But she was not to put that priority first. He was not belittling her ministry. He was not belittling her gift. He's not questioning her love for him. Martha's problem was not that she was preparing food, that she was making something for the guests to eat. That was necessary, but she gave too much importance to it, and she got the priority out of order. Busyness does not equate spirituality. He's so busy that we equate that we're really spiritual now. We've really grown. But no, it's about being able to hear God's voice and having relationship with him. Secondly, the priority in the house was that relationships are to be built on love. Not only are we to hear God's voice, but we are to have relationships that are built on love. By all means, use your gifts, use your talents, serve. I mean, great message last week about service. Serve. But without love, they lose their value, our gifts and our talents. Jesus tells her that one thing is needful. One thing. No amount of service will make up to hearing his voice. And we can become so distracted in our own homes, so distracted with having a house, that we neglect the most important thing in the house, and that's relationship. You guys, I'm really pounding this one home today, because I really believe what the scripture says, that if we love God who we don't see, we have to love our brothers who we do see. And so what it really does say in that is, like, if you don't love this way, the people that you do see that are close with you, those in your homes, those in your houses, then you don't love God who you don't see. And so it's important that we understand the value in the house is to love and have healthy relationship with those around us in our house. It's a priority in the kingdom. Nothing in this world compares to this one thing, Jesus was saying. That we would have an interest that goes above everything else, and that would be a preoccupation with God himself, that would be focused in on him. Again, it's not Martha's activity that he's rebuking, but she was not doing this out of joy, out of peace, out of that place of relationship. And he lightened her load that day. It wasn't by telling Mary to go in and to help her, but he lightened her load by giving her a new perspective on her work. When we forget what we're doing or why we're doing it, we can get turned upside down. And we may begin to feel overworked. We may begin to feel like nobody cares. But God's saying, I care for you. Go ahead and give me your cares, your anxieties. And he'd lighten your load this morning. Thirdly and lastly, a priority in the house that we learn from the scripture is that Jesus empowers the individual. He gives us each responsibilities that we are to carry. When he's in your house, he doesn't let you get away with your stuff. You have to deal with it. Your issues, your problems, you have to own them. Stop the blame game. It's not Mary's fault you're frustrated. You're like, I don't have a sister. It's not your kid's fault. Your spouse, the dog, your boss, your friends, your bills. God's saying, it's about you, Martha. It's about you. We were created, you guys, for more than working and paying bills. And this is where he's saying, Martha, you have a choice. Sometimes, you guys, I know it feels like your choices have been taken away in life. But Jesus is redirecting her. He's refocusing her to the priority. And he's saying, no, Martha, you really do have a choice. Mary has chosen the good thing. Mary has chosen the one thing, the important thing, the priority of the house. And so what he's saying in that, he's saying, I want you to choose also. I empower you to choose also. To lay down the anxieties, the cares, the distractions, to set them aside. Give them over to me and let me be your focus. He's saying, Martha, you can choose me over distraction. I don't have time for Jesus. I don't have time for religion. I have the kids' soccer games, and I have this work to go to. And Jesus is saying, no, you have a choice. God, you don't know about the worry I carry about the things in this life, or the frustration, or the anger, or the irritability, or God, I really would just like to be rich. My problems would be solved. I live in Marin County. Or what others think, the anxiety of what would they think of me as a hostess if I don't make this most amazing meal? If I don't cater to what they want, they'll go away with maybe just having, you know, that powdered lemonade and, you know, some KFC that I picked up on the way home. And God's saying that's okay because that priority is second compared to these other priorities. You have a choice. And God wants to empower us again today to realize, hey, we have choice. We have a choice of what we focus on, where we spend our lives, what we give ourselves to. We are to be a people that hear His voice, that have a deep value for relationships that are built on love, and that we know that we are empowered by Him. Let's go ahead and stand today. This morning, I feel like God wants to relay just a couple of things, you know, and not to review the whole message, but 1 Peter 5:7, He cares for us. If Martha knew how much God cared for her, she wouldn't be distracted. She wouldn't be lumbering around with all this anxiety, all this stuff. She wouldn't be carrying that around her house if she knew. And God wants you to know how much He cares for you this morning. And that starts by a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It starts with, just like Mary did, Martha invited her and received Him into her home. And our staff is here. We have a wonderful pastoral staff, wonderful team here that they can pray with you. Or if you came with somebody this morning, they would also pray with you. I know they would be happy to pray with you to receive Jesus Christ into your life. That's the beginning of all this that I talked about. That's the start of something amazing and incredible that Jesus wants to show you how much He cares for you. Secondly, this morning I feel like the Lord is leading us in this series to choose Him over distraction, to choose Him over anxiety and care, to choose Him over any other worldly pursuits, and to put Him as the number one priority. And so as we worship, just think about these things and let your communication be with God Himself, that He wants to talk to you. What distracts you from relationship with Jesus? What can you identify in your own life that holds you back from the relationship you've always desired to have or that you really, really want? What are those things that hold you back from Him? Or what would it take for you to slow down and listen to what He has to say? Instead of being, oh, I got all this going on. What would it take to slow down a moment? Maybe it's going to be sit down for a moment. Mary sat down at Jesus' feet, literally. Sometimes we have to sit down. I know it's like you have to go away on a retreat because if you don't, you will still be occupied with all this stuff here. I mean, there are things that we get so focused on. We need to sit down. So what will it take for you to slow down and listen in, to lean in to what He's saying? Let's go ahead and pray into those things this morning as we worship. Our worship team is here and they're going to lead us in a couple of songs, and it's going to be our response time. And I do, want to say as well is that God wants to untether you. I don't have my scissors up here right now, but God wants to untether you from the anxieties, the distractions, and the cares. He doesn't want you just to stuff them back all in until next week you can let them all out again, right? Or something else happens and it like all takes over again. He wants to literally untether you. He wants to set you free from those things as you give them over to Him. So let's respond in that way.